shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
The Herald of Truth broadcast is on the air, a program of spirit and truth dedicated to teaching the way of God more perfectly. These broadcasts contain keys to help unlock knowledge and reveal hidden truths of the Bible in these last days. Christians, called to a higher level of understanding, will be given Bible-based solutions to their personal as well as national problems. They will want to find out more about their part in God's plan. Our mailing address is Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, and will be given again at the end of this broadcast.
Good evening. This is Brother Mike of Kingdom Identity Ministries, welcoming you to another one of our first of the month Kingdom Concepts broadcasts. Tonight's broadcast is pre-recorded because my guest is all the way from England, and due to the time difference, we're recording this ahead of time. We're being heard tonight over radio station WWCR on both transmitters 3 and 4. That's 4.84 megahertz and 5.89 megahertz. And also shortwave radio station WBCQ, 7.490 megahertz. And by the time you hear this, we'll have the program posted on our radio archives page. That's at www.kingidentity.com. And you'll see radio archives and just go there and you can listen to it anytime you like or download the program. My guest tonight is a man from England, like I said. He's written a number of books, and he's informed on various issues concerning our race and our heritage. And I'd like to welcome to the broadcast Andrew Hitchcock.
Hello, Brother Mike. Good to be doing the show with you.
Well, it's good to have you here. Why don't we start by you giving me a little bit of background? I know that in England, the British Israel movement's been around for a long time. They know that we're Israel, but they also have the Jews as the tribe of Judah, which is false. And there are a number of nationalists in Great Britain that understand the Jewish situation, but there aren't that many people who understand the Israel identity message. And I'd like to know a little bit about how you came to this truth.
Well, yes, with me it was, I started off really, you know, from a young age I was always interested in whether it was UFOs or things like that. I think I read my first book on that when I was about 8 years old. So I always had an interest in, you know, different things, shall we say. And I was taught to read from a very young age, so I was always quite ahead of my time with reading. And basically, I found myself after the Oklahoma bombing. I remember seeing footage of that on British television, and I was familiar with all the IRA bombings and that we have in London. And when I read about this bomb was supposed to be parked a distance outside of the building, and I could see obviously the building had blown outwards, not inwards. This was when the internet started coming along, probably a year or two after that, and you could get onto it at work and stuff like that. So while other people would be looking at Amazon and all sorts of other different sites, I was trying to dig out different material on that, and that led me to other things. And so I found myself down the David Icke, Alex Jones type route that most people who go into the message from a, you know, non-scriptural background, because I had no particular faith. I wasn't raised in any churches, didn't go to church regularly or anything like that. And I found my path there. And, you know, after a while with them, I moved on to other people. I listened to a lot of Dale Bradford Smith, The French Connection. And what I started doing was I heard so many conflicting accounts. I think the best way to describe it is you've already had 30 people. I think it's about 100 deathbed confessions of people saying that they killed Kennedy. Well, you know, they can't all have done it. And so that really sums up your so-called conspiracy theories. If you want to find out about 9/11, then there's not just one theory, there's loads of theories out there. And so I started keeping a little timeline. It was just information. I'd listened to lots of things about a certain subject, and then when I found what I considered was the most likely and the most evidence for the actual outcome, what had happened, i.e. with Kennedy, I firmly believe it was his I think Michael Collins Piper had it on the money with the fact he was looking to stop Israel from getting a nuclear bomb, etc. And then when I got that information, I thought, right, I'm quite happy now. I'll concentrate on another subject. So I would document that. And then that became the only way I could really keep track of it. I wasn't familiar with indexing or anything, was I put it in a timeline, because I'll always be able to remember the years. So it was really my own personal document. So I didn't all the time keep listening to shows on the same subject and have my head turn one way, another way, another way, and never actually get to the bottom of it. And then that timeline became bigger and bigger, and I emailed it to Dale Bradford Smith, and he subsequently put it up on his website. And at that point, he was working with a guy called Eric Huffschmidt. And I ended up dealing really with Eric more than Daryl, because Eric did the website, and they gave me encouragement to, you know, any more information you add to it, and so I'd give them another copy, and they'd take one they had down, say, or now updated with more information, etc. And it became bigger and bigger, and ended up becoming the book, The Synagogue of Satan. And so I did that. I self-published 500 copies. I actually found the printer and had to put it in a certain format, and I had them delivered. And then I set up a one-page website with a PayPal button on to try and sell these 500 copies. I thought that would be it. And then Dale Bradford Smith had me as a guest, so I could publicise that. And I sent copies out to different people who'd influenced me. Tex Mars had one. I sent three to Dr. Wickstrom, one for him, one for Pastor Bob Jones, and one for Colonel Francis P. Farrell. And he sent them on, and he mentioned the book on his show. And at some point, Tex Mars, I think it was actually September 11th, 2006, it came out. And just before the end of that year, 2006, Tex Mars got in touch, and he wanted to order some copies to stock in his ministry. And, you know, I was quite prepared to let him have them at cost price and what have you, the unit price, and just to get them over to him. But the postage costs involved, it meant that, you know, it was going to cost me money to send them to him. And he wanted a fair amount, so I said, well, you've got your own limit. You've got your own publishing company. You publish all your own books. And I think at that point, he only ever published his own books through Rivercrest Publishing, which is his publishing arm of Power of Prophecy. Cut the long story short, I said, why don't you publish it? And he put a little contract together and sent it over. And, you know, he's done about 8 printings of it. And during the time I was putting Synagogue of Satan together, I started listening to broadcasts of Yahweh's Truth. And I found Kingdom Identity through that as well. And so I was really getting a feel for the identity message, which, you know, you mentioned before about British Israel in the United Kingdom, and they're referred to as one seedliners. Well, I could understand one seedliners as people knowing that the Jews were the children of the devil, simply by their actions. And I found the whole concept of knowing that I'm an Israelite, that was the hard part for me. It wasn't hard once I'd been told and once I listened, but I would never have known had my identity not been given to me, literally over the internet, by listening to these broadcasts and then by looking at scripture and realizing, because, you know, this is what amazes me about British Israel, how they can believe. And maybe it's because, of course, funnily enough, recently, Mike, I've been going through some books that I had in the box that I used for research, and we're talking about British Israel books going back to, you know, 1909, 1873, things like that. And I think that you have to realise that when these people were doing their research, the Jews weren't the problem that they are today. And so they believe that they were this house of Judah, which is patently false. We know that that's you know, Germany and Ireland, Ferez and Zara branches. But from my point of view, as soon as I got the identity message, it really, I felt absolutely blessed that my book, The Synagogue of Satan, which was the first to really pin it all on the Jews, although I was not the first person to coin the term The Synagogue of Satan. I thought I was at that time, but actually William Guy Carr did in his book, Pawns in the Game, which I actually read a couple of years after I did The Synagogue of Satan. And as a result, the reason that title came about was when it was on Dalbrad and Smith's site, it was called The History of the House of Rothschild. But the Rothschilds are in there prominently, but, you know, you wouldn't associate that with, say, 9/11 or with USS Liberty or Kennedy or all sorts of other things that are in the book. And so I wanted a broader title. And at that point, I believed that it was only the Ashkenazi Jews and the Sephardic Jews were the Jews of the Bible, and that was what I thought. You know, I didn't realise that, you know, all Jews were Jews, and the so-called, what they refer to falsely as Israelites of the Bible being Jews were actually the white race.
Well, we've got a number of scriptures, but Revelation 2:9 and 3:9, those who call themselves Jews, in other words, Judah, and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan.
Exactly. And the thing is it's, again, I felt blessed because even in my misunderstanding, it fits today, because the reason I called it the synagogue of Satan was I thought that fitted, because I thought, as you say, those who say they are Jews but are not part of the synagogue of Satan, I thought, yeah, the Ashkenazi Jews say that they're Jews but they're not. They're a tribe of people from Khazaria who King Bulan converted in 740 AD to be Jews on pain of death. So that fits that verse. But of course now, as I've learned the identity message, I know they are, you know, those who say they are of the house of Judah and are not, are the synagogue of Satan. And actually they're doing the same thing because they claim to be the chosen people. And so the actual definition through identity is far more accurate. The title still fits.
I was going to say, a lot of people don't realize that the Jews are counterfeits in all areas. And one of those counterfeits is a false migration. We had our dispersion out of ancient Israel into Europe, but they actually had their own records say Mount Seir, which is Edomite Jews, into Khazaria, and that's in their own records. So they have not just the Khazars, they go back actually to the Edom Jews, and it's so in their own records.
Well, this is another, there's so many lies that the Jews tell. And the Arthur Kessler 13th tribe lie is one of them. And I thought, you know, this is, and this was coming out, and oh, Arthur Kessler, and, you know, he was killed because he wrote this book. Absolute nonsense. Arthur Kessler did a service to the Jews by writing this book, because what he basically said was these Jews who say they are, what he basically said, but 90% of the Jews in the world today are Ashkenazi Jews, and they're not real Jews, i.e. the Jews of the Bible. And that's kind of done the service, because it's almost saying that if the white race, the true Israelites of the Bible, find out who the Jews really are, that they are the children of Satan, then they won't include the Ashkenazi branch into them, because they were only converted by King Bulan in 740 AD, and they're not true Jews. But they are true Jews. They were idolaters in that land, and as you say, they migrated that way. And you just need to look at their actions today, and you need to look at, you know, by their fruits ye shall know them.
That's a key point. I know that among the 1C line and 2C line Israel identity people, everybody recognizes that we're Israel, and everybody recognizes the Jewish problem, but I don't see how they cannot understand that there is a basic genetic difference between Jews and our race in their very spiritual and attitude in everything that they involve themselves in. How are you going to explain that difference that no other race has? Well, even the blacks and orientals, they're different. They're pre-Adamic and they're created, not sons, but still they don't have that satanic nature, and I don't think you can explain that satanic nature without having them being of their father the devil, as Christ said in John 8:44.
Well, I absolutely agree. I think that what people don't do enough is trust their own instincts and trust their own experiences. And all the time they'll think that, you know, they'll learn everything from, say, my book, or, you know, they'll read the scripture properly. But Yahweh God gave us eyes to see and ears to hear. And the fact is even things that you pick up when you associate with Jews or when you associate with blacks or other races, certain traits, and you do get this selfishness even with say the blacks, for example, and you find out it's actually that they don't even, a lot of the time, they don't even realize they're doing it. You know, if there's a group of them walking slowly in front of you down the street, if I can feel someone coming up behind me, if I'm walking, I'll move aside for them to pass. You know, that awareness isn't there. You know, it's a natural thing that if I cross the road and someone lets me pass, I'll wave. You know, a lot of these other races, they'll keep their hands in their pockets, walk over slowly, no thanks or anything. And it's an inherent thing in them. And when it comes to the Jews, for example, you know, their desire has always been to make money. And I get sick and tired of people who say, it's not all Jews, you know, not every Jew's a Rothschild, they're not all worth fortunes. Well, you just look at their actions of how they all stick together. And even the so-called, you know, Jews against Zionism or the brother Nathaniel and what have you, you know, they still promote diversity, liberalism, all this stuff that destroys our race. And I always warn people, I will not post anything that's Jew authored. I won't do any interviews or anything with anybody of Jewish extraction.
I'm the same way. I refuse to give an interview to a Jew. It says, cast not your pearls before swine, or give that which is holy unto dogs. Certainly I'm not going to cast my pearls before swine, because they're going to turn and rend you. So I've always taken that attitude. The others, like the blacks, I just kind of consider dumb beasts that the Jews manipulate. But the Jews, including in John 8:44, the whole of John 8, it refers to, Christ refers to them as believing Jews. So they were what we call messianic Jews, and yet they don't change fathers. That's a very key point that I'm afraid that some of the people who understand our Israel identity don't understand. You don't change fathers because of belief. The Syrophoenician woman came to Christ and called on him as son of David, which she wasn't entitled to, and finally he turns to her and says that he's only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, not meant to give the children's bread to the dogs. And she says, true master, that the dogs get the crumbs. And he said, greater faith have I not seen in Israel, and he did heal her daughter. Now, he recognized that she received the crumbs, but still, even though she had greater faith than anybody in Israel, she never became an Israelite. She still was one of the dog races and only entitled to the crumbs. And you take the prodigal son, the parable of the prodigal son, and he was a son. He was living in iniquity, but he was still a son. Regardless of his actions and his beliefs, he stayed a son. And that's the same racially. A Jew, as we call them today, a Canaanite Jew, is still going to be a Jew, regardless of their belief. And some of the worst are these so-called Messianic Jews, because they have the Judeo-Christians believing that they're God's chosen and they're constantly pushing their own race. So, you know, I agree with you totally there, that their nature and their genetics do not change no matter what they profess. You know, some are worse than others, but still they're a child of Satan.
Exactly, and this is what people just fail to realize. And what I always say to people, if they come out and say that, I say, well, congratulations, you're more intelligent than Yahweh. You've obviously solved the problem that Yahweh couldn't solve, because Yahweh made it clear who these people were and what would happen to you if you didn't destroy these people. And look at what's happening today. But these people still say, yeah, but this Jew's okay. You know, if this Jew gets on board with me, he's okay. And so this is why. It's like recently I read George Lincoln Rockwell's Fable of the Ducks and the Hens. I don't know if you're familiar
We carry that book.
Yeah, and I only read it, Brother Mike, only last week, and it was, I'd ordered some things from somewhere in England, and I hadn't ordered that, but they give that as free copies when you do an order. I sort of looked at it, this cartoony thing on the front, I thought, oh, what do I want to look at that? And I picked it up, and it was just amazing the way it was done. It just blew me away. And you know, I took it over to my mother for her to read, and I thought, yeah, she won't read. Think that she, and she read it, and she thought it was amazing too. It's so accessible for people, and it really shows not just the Jewish problem, but the black problem. But it completely shows what we were just talking about: the problem of the white race allowing these people to keep the problem of the white race using their own judgment over Yahweh's judgment. And that's the problem that we have today. They think that they're so clever, and they're told that, you know, I say to people who think all this race mixing and this immigration is good, you know, they're basically, they're ridiculing their own ancestors. They're saying their grandfather, their great-grandfather and beyond, they're saying that these people are stupid because they didn't, you know, they didn't think we were all the same, and because these people chose to live separately. And they're calling all these people, all their, you know, blood relatives, all their ancestors, they're calling them stupid through their own actions. And the action of someone that would go and procreate with someone of another race, to me, is just, you know, it's horrific because it's just so disrespectful, in my opinion, because all through this time, these people, you know, if they're pure, then, you know, countless generations have kept that purity, and they're the one that goes and ruins it. And for me, that's, you know, the sheer chutzpah, as the Jews would say, of doing that. And I imagine all these, you know, ancestors of this person looking down in horror at what they're creating. I mean, it's all through the media. It's all pushed on people.
The Jews want to do it because they can control a mongrel people. They're always afraid that the white race is going to wake up, such as a great majority of the Germans did back in the 30s, woke up to the Jewish problem, and as they were kicked out of every country in Europe at one time or another. And so they're always afraid that they can't control the white race, but they can control the mongrel races. That's why they're flooding this country with Mexicans and other aliens, and I'm sure the same is in Great Britain with Indians and Pakistanis and what have you. I'm not as familiar with the situation over there. But they can control the other races, and that's the way they want to do it. And from Satan's standpoint, there's only two ways that he can win. One is to mongrelize the holy seed out of existence and race mixing, and the other is not to reproduce anymore, which is homosexuality. And those are exactly the two things that Christ gave in his prophecy. He said that it would be as in the days of Noah, which was race mixing, marrying and giving in marriage, and Noah was perfect in his generations, perfect in his genealogies, and was saved out of that. And the other was as in the days of Lot, and that was homosexuality. And there's never been a time in history when we've had a greater amount of both. So anyway, race mixing is definitely a satanic program to mongrelize our race out of existence. See, what happens is that we, the children of Yahweh, which pre-existed in the heavens, our spirit pre-existed, our body, soul, and spirit. Adam had an implanted spirit given the breath of life, and Eve was the mother of all living, those who had the breath of life. The pre-Adamic races are body and soul only, just as a dog or a cat or horse or whatever. They got their physical makeup and they got their mental personality type, which is their soulish nature. And you mix a trichotomous man, a body, soul, and spirit, with a dichotomous man, his body and soul, and you come out with a dichotomous offspring. That's the real crime of race mixing, as it speaks about it in both Ezra and Nehemiah, mingling the holy seed. So this is a terrible crime, and I think if nothing else, our race has lost a lot of its discernment. And of course, that's done in a great part because of the brainwashing that takes place through the media, the movies, the public schools, the radio, TV, and so on, saying that everybody's created equal and homosexuality is just another lifestyle and et cetera, et cetera. I'm sure you hear the same thing over there in Great Britain.
Yes, yes, we do. I mean, it's, you know, the world, with the media, the world's become a much smaller place, and you know, the Jews take their one film and, well, I'm not saying their one film, of course, they're putting out films all the time in Hollywood, but they'll take their blockbuster or whatever, and it doesn't just get shown in the UK, but it'll be dubbed or subtitled and go to, like, all every country across the globe. And so that allows them to get their filth across. And I remember, and I was looking forward to this film, you know, when it came out, and I'm not really big on these sort of movies, really. I don't watch a lot of them. But when the film 2012 came out, or 2012, because I looked at that Mayan calendar thing for, you know, a while, before I ended up with doing the Synagogue of Satan. And the only reason I think I ended up doing the Synagogue of Satan was I had an idea that I was going to research, you know, the Rothschild family, and I was going to research the Council on Foreign Relations and the Bilderberg Group and the Club of Rome and the Trilateral Commission and blah, 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 all the Illuminati. And starting off with the Rothschild family, again, was a blessing because it showed how they control everything else. And then you go down to the Jews from that. And to go back to this film, it's a classic example for me. The film is portrayed as a breathtaking, end-of-the-world destruction sort of blockbuster film. And the special effects are quite amazing in it when you see, you know, cities crumbling and Yellowstone exploding and all these different things. But for me, the key scene of the film was you've got the main character who, you know, is the only person, him and a black guy who's some black physicist, some doctor. I mean, you know, you see them, you're bumping into them every day, aren't you, these black physicist PhD people. And then you've got his Indian counterpart, you know, clearly both not white, and he knows as well what's going to happen. And this black physicist is banging down the door of the president and stuff like that, and in the end they listen to him, and there's this scene when the whole world is going into chaos, and his father is actually works on a cruise ship as a double act, and the guy he's a double act with, their musicians, is a white guy. So you've got this black guy and the white guy. And they're on this cruise ship, and they realise that, you know, the end is really coming because the boat's about to overturn. It turns out that the black guy, you know, the hero of the film, he phones up his father and says goodbye and what have you. It's all very tearful. I love you, son. I'm so proud of you and all this. And then the white guy goes to phone up his son, who he hasn't spoken to for years because he married a non-white. And he had a non-white child with this woman. And you see this little, made up to look really, really sweet, this little non-white child go and answer the phone. And she goes over to the phone and she answers
propaganda.
Yeah, exactly. This is entirely my point. And then just as she says grandpa like that and all sweet, like, and he's like there crying, and just as she goes to get her father, their house gets destroyed as part of the cataclysm that's happening. And that to me is what the film is about. Nothing to do with end of the world and all that, because that's the propaganda they want you to see. The evil white man who believes in keeping his race pure. And look, he never got to speak to his son again. And look at his sweet mixed race granddaughter. And look at how the black guy was when he spoke to his son. I mean, this is how Hollywood works. You don't watch a film. I'll tell you what a film is, and like, this is a shoot 'em up, or this is this, or whatever, but it's the subliminal things that they put in there that's not in the film's description at all. And these are the things that you've got to look out for, because that is why the film has been produced. The story, they know what people want to see, and so they have to, they couldn't, if they did a film solely on the subject of, you know, how, you know, that story alone that I just said, I'm not going to go over again, then no one would go and watch it. And so they need to insert these things into something people would want to watch. And so hence the action film or things like that. And that's why they do it all the time. And, you know, even in sort of, so I wouldn't call it literature, but I mean, I've been on a holiday where, you know, you have a section of books that different holiday makers, you know, they read that, so they put it on the rack, and they get another one off there that someone else has put on the rack because they've read. And anything modern that you read today, like there was an adventure story, I forget the title, and it looked really interesting on the back. It was about a group of people that were employed to recover, you know, stolen valuable works of art that have been professionally stolen, and, you know, by people like Russian mafia, and they were being kept in these underground vaults, and these people would have to break in and get them out and stuff like that, and go for all these traps and burglar alarm systems and different things. And then you read about this group of people that have been assembled, and, you know, the one who was the top soldier there was a woman. She was the toughest. And she was a white woman, funnily enough. And then the computer expert was a Chinese woman. And, you know, it just went on and on like that. The black guy was, you know, he was involved in mapping out the territory, and he had a real good brain on him. And all these different things are just completely false. And what they do now, so you can't, I mean, I say to people, I can't, you know, one of these reasons that I mentioned, I've been going through these older books and stuff, that, you know, I haven't found a lot out of them, actually, because I've read them and I use them for research and stuff. There's just nothing new out there for me, Brother Mike. You know, everything new, it's more and more of this propaganda is inserted in it, so I can't enjoy it. And what I do these days, even in the morning, you know, when I get up for work, I can't stick on a news channel anymore, I just can't do it, because I'll hear some story, you know, it'll be something that Israel's up to, and I'll hear the way they present it, and these terrorists, you know, the Palestinians, they always call them terrorists or militants, and all these people that are being slaughtered every day, that the Jewish BBC cover up, and all these disgusting Jew-owned organisations cover up, it just put me in a bad mood for the day, so I don't bother listening to it, and sometimes days go by when I haven't even looked at the headlines on a website, you know, on the Jews News website. And instead, I've got hundreds, if not thousands, of identity radio shows of different people that I've listened to over the years, and I was listening to, we were in touch a couple of weeks ago, so I'm trying to find a Compre one, and you gave me a link to a Dr. Swift's tape 10, which was excellent, and I hadn't, I'd heard Swift a few years ago, but just hearing him again, it makes you realise that, you know, this stuff that was being said 50 years ago is just as valid today, and in fact it's more valid, because a lot of what they're prophesying, we're living. You know, they saw it coming. And this is where you're going to get your strength from, folks, you know, to the listeners out there, is to go back and look at all this excellent work and get as much of it as you can and download as much of it as you can while you can, because they're going to outlaw the internet. And it's foretold that a time will come when the watchmen on the wall and the people telling you this are going to be silenced for their own protection. And so that means no more of this information. So if you don't get it and it's suddenly not available and you keep meaning to go and download that and what have you, then all you're going to have is what the Jews want to blast out at you 24/7, and you're not going to have any of this truth. So what I do now when I get up in the morning is I have all these things on the phone that's got a powerful speaker on the back. I just turn that on, check my emails while I'm listening to that, go into the bathroom, shave with that on, you know, and so I wake up with truth, and I wake up listening to things, and you forget, you know, when you're listening to shows that are years and years old, and you've got hundreds of them, then suddenly someone will say something and say, oh, I remember I heard that somewhere. It was on there, I heard it. But there'll be other
things.
Of course,
the Bible says that Bible says Yahweh is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if a man of his, a man of God, is preaching the truth, it's the same true message today and forever. Unfortunately, there aren't that many that are teaching truth anymore. Pastor Compre and Dr. Swift were two of the greats. And they've passed on, and there's some people who are trying to uphold the standard, and, you know, a few others are trying to uphold the standard, but we are that small remnant, and the Judeo-Christian churches out there are some of the worst as far as bringing this upon us. They're the ones that are teaching the Jews are God's chosen, and that race mixing is fine, and some of them are even teaching that homosexuality, sodomites are okay now, that they're Christians. The so-called church world, churchianity as I call it, is some of the worst out there, and they're pawns in the Jews' hand.
Yeah, it's, you know, I mean, but even, I think that, and I don't wish to be disrespectful to any listeners, especially here, because, you know, on your network, they're going to be familiar with all this material, but I'm going to aim it more at people who listen to this on Eurofolk Radio, which is where I broadcast out of, but a lot of people, they want to listen to the newest thing. And I'm talking about even when it comes to identity. They'd rather listen to, say, you know, my show from last week than Dr. Swift from 50 years ago, because they think I'm going to be more relevant. And sure, we're going to talk about, we'll probably relate things to more current events, but in no way these pastors in any way out of date, because you say, as you said, what you always said, I'm the same yesterday, today, you know, and forever. I mean, the fact is that people need to really ingest, if you like, all as much of this information as they can, as many of these shows as they can, download as many as you can, you know, because all the time you'll get keys out of them. Something will come up and a minister will say something. And it'll prompt you to look in your Bible, and it'll open a whole new knowledge for you, and you don't know what's around the corner when you're listening to them. You don't know what they're going to open your eyes to. And I think it's wonderful that what you've done with your ministry, that you've, you know, every identity person out there, they'll always talk about the oldest people being Pastor Compray and Dr. Swift, but not enough people go and listen to their material. And I think that that's something I would advise everybody to do, because even there was a guy that I'd never even heard the name. I don't know if you're familiar with a guy called Wally Butterworth.
I think I've heard the name somewhere, but I'm not enough familiar with it.
I saw a website, and he was a guy, and he was talking about the Jewish problem and the sort of the problem with integration, etc., in the 60s. And he was talking about, and this was all around the time of Kennedy, before Kennedy was shot, and, you know, this is what's going to happen and things. And he was putting his stuff out. He was something to do with in television. And I don't know, you know, someone had got hold of his stuff, and you can even hear the needle when it hits a scratch on the record. You know, these were put out on vinyl records, these speeches. And it was amazing stuff to hear and so relevant today, and it's over 50 years old. And it's just, it's great when people, I really admire people who keep a library of things, who keep work alive, who keep people's work alive, and make this truth that's been said, you know, so many years ago, and keep it available to people, and it changed the medium so that they convert it to, say, an MP3 so someone can download it, or they put it onto a CD. You know, they're having to take it off in real time, off the source cassette tape, or even the reel-to-reel before that,
yeah,
and then
that's
convert
what I
that
do,
across.
Reel-to-reel.
Yeah.
I do it
exactly.
Constantly. I guess you know that both Pastor Compray's and Dr. Swift's ministries were turned over to me,
yeah,
along with the American Institute of Theology, and I'm trying to maintain their works, and it's because I'm trying to maintain Yahweh's standard. A lot of people have compromised the word, have one foot in churchianity, or get out on some really crazy type things, and I'm trying to maintain a standard here, a biblical standard. There's very few people that are dedicated to really want to help hands-on or small remnant, even nationwide. I'm trying to raise funds to raise a library. I did inherit both Pastor Compray's library and the remnant of Dr. Swift's, and my own, some of these old books, and I'm reproducing the books by Dr. Swift and Pastor Compray and their various tapes. I've got all those old reel-to-reels. I run them through the computer, try to clean up the sound and put them on the air or make CDs out of them. So it's a busy work. Anyway, we all have our part. Yeah, you have your part, I have my part, and all we can do is hold the light of truth up. You know, a lot of these people who interview me, these left-wing press generally, you know, it's like, well, you're not going to win. Well, of course, I believe by divine grace we are, but that's not the point. You fight for what's right and what's true, whether you win or you don't win. Our job is to keep that candle of truth going, no matter if he returns tomorrow or if he returns 10,000 years from now. We need to occupy until he comes, as the scriptures tells us.
Yes, and, you know, I'd just like to say the American Institute of Theology course, I don't think that you've raised the price of that in a decade, at least.
We just do break even,
yeah,
on the outside, and to prisoners, we actually lose money on our prison students. On the outside, at best, it's break even. And actually, everything that I put out is break even. If it wasn't for donors, there wouldn't even be a ministry, because there's so many expenses, radio time, publishing, and, you know, there's secretarial, and there's postage, and there's all kinds of expenses here. So we're not a patriot for profit. I'm only doing this because I believe in it. I like to see men who stand because they believe in something.
Yes, I mean, the course is excellent, because I remember it was the first identity thing I ever actually purchased. I think I heard it. Pastor Bob Jones mentions it a lot to this day. He always says that if someone buys it for $100 and they don't like it, he'll give them their $100, and they don't learn anything from it, he'll give them their $100 back.
Incidentally, Bob Jones has just been named as one of the trustees of this ministry. So if anything happens to me, in addition to me, there's three other trustees, and the ministry will be carried on. So my purpose is that everything here is carried on after I'm no longer able to do it. Anyway, Pastor Bob Jones is one of those trustees.
Oh, that's excellent. Yeah, because I'm familiar with Bob and we're in touch on email and things. And yeah, it's as I say, I just over time, and I'm 42 years old now. I was 33 when I did the Synagogue of Satan, and then I had the opportunity as I got to learn this message. I wanted to really try and do a Synagogue of Satan style with the scripture, but focus on the law. I wanted all the laws in there, and I wanted all the evidence as to who the Jews were, who the white race were. And I came up with a book called In the Name of Yahweh, but it goes through that. Now, you can't sum up the scriptures in a 200-and-something page book. But what I've got in there is that whole story, and I've got it chronologically, because what I did was I got a King James Bible I used, and I got the Nelson's chronological King James. And so I was able to put it into that order so that people could see from, you know, Genesis 1:1 right through to Revelation. And it actually tells you the story, and it just shows you what these Jews are up to and what all the other names that they were under, all the evidence that the Israel of the Bible can't be anything but the white race. It's staggering. And just being able to put that together. And while I did that, I had time, because I took time out of work for 2 years to sort of write that and write, and I've been researching before that point, but it was too big a project to be able to do. You know, when you got home from work in an evening, you needed a clear head and you needed to be able to devote time to it. And I was able to do that. And I finished it quicker than I thought. And so over all those years as well, I still, whenever I came across information, I come across it in strangest of places. I read a book called Supermob by Gus Russo, which I thought would be a explosive book about the mafia and what have you. And I find all these Jewish connections that I'd heard of, but I'd never seen the connections with Las Vegas and the Nisei, the Japanese who were interned during World War II in the concentration camps you never hear about, because of course concentration camps are only a German thing, even though they're actually internment camps for any people who you're fighting with to be put in to keep your population safe, unlike today when they'll bomb all these countries in the Middle East and then let all the people from that country run around your country or run around Great Britain while you're bombing their relatives and think that that's good.
Yeah, well, one of the first notorious concentration camps was there in South Africa.
The British putting
the Afrikaner women and children into the concentration camps, and many died.
Yeah, and that's always the thing, because, you know, that's, with the British, it's a terrible, the problem is that the Jew kind of jumped off us and onto you, because you've got more people. And of course, you know, every war that America goes into, the British aren't far behind. But the fact is it's all under Jew control. So, as we know,
well, of course, it was for gold down there. They get the diamonds and the gold. Anytime there's profit like that, you're going to have a Jew come in and distort things. They're corruptors. They're parasites. They're parasites on every host nation that they enter.
Yeah, if you just look at, you know, over there, it was Oppenheimer family or branch of the Rothschild family. And what I always say to people with this beast of the field, Mandela, it's funny, isn't it, how when Mandela got to power, the Oppenheimers still owned the gold mines and the De Beers family still owned the diamond mines. I thought it was, you know, it was going to be Africa for the blacks. So how come these Jews still own all the resources? You know, people don't put two and two together.
Officials in the, what was the party called that Mandela
ANC.
Was part of?
ANC.
It was a Jew. You know,
yeah,
it was
Joe Slovo.
Right.
Yeah, and, you know, and then you see even like after, you know, in this footage, if you put in Mandela kill the Boer, And there's a song that they sing, and this was footage of him, you know, people think, oh, you know, and it's basically Kill the White Man, and it's a song that all these blacks sing out there, and it's like their patriotic song of how they're going to kill every white person in South Africa, which is, of course, what they're doing and what, you know, is more or less done now in Zimbabwe. Google that, and I assumed when I was sent the link, oh, you know, someone's found some footage of him in the 60s, you know, when he was radical, and, you know, I know who he is, but there's no way that he'd be filmed doing that now. This was when he was virtually on his deathbed. You know, you could see, this was in the last couple of years before he died. He's there doing this, waving his hands about kill the Boer, kill the Boer. I mean, it's absolutely, it's all out there for people to see. But the trouble is, it's like when you have the saying, it's not who votes, it's who counts the votes. It's not what the news is, it's who gives you the news. And so we know that the Rothschilds own Reuters and Associated Press. And then they're the news wire that all the news comes off of. So they just cherry pick what they want out of it. And then they slant what comes out of it into their own, into the message they want to give. And that's why whenever you see like a crime and it's black on white, they very rarely describe the perpetrator because they don't want you to know that blacks can attack whites. In Hollywood, Marlon Brando said himself, you'll never see such a thing as a Jewish bad guy because the kikes, as he said, it wouldn't allow it on screen. And that's absolutely true. The Jews are always the persecuted people when we know for a fact that they're the persecutors over the millennia. And if you look at even someone, there was a Jewish writer I quoted in my book in, because in the Synagogue of Satan, I wouldn't go now, you know, when I talk about not quoting Jews or what have you, I'm talking about current Jews that come out and, you know, are supposed to be anti-Zionism. I don't want anything to do with them because I'll tell you what's going to happen, folks. These are the fallback position people. So if, well, not if, we know that Yahweh's coming back and we know that Yahweh's going to redeem us. But what the Jews want, a fallback position so that they can suddenly say, oh, No, we're all against Israel, we're all against Zionism, and we're all Henry Mackau fans or Brother Nathaniel fans, and this is who we really are, we're all Jews against Zionism, because they always like to have their foot in both camps to protect themselves, and that's all these people are. All these people are is their fallback position. It's like when they control two sides of the argument, and they control the pro-gun lobby and the anti-gun lobby. And you get, in the media, they'll have the so-called right wing that wants to limit immigration and the so-called left wing that wants to increase immigration. But you won't have someone come out and they'll say, you know what, we should get rid of all the blacks, all the Jews, all the Mexicans. We should have a purely white country or even a purely white area. You won't have one person say that. And so that opinion, which is the opinion of scripture, that is essentially removed. It's banned from the public spectrum. But they think that you've got choice because what they do is that goes the furthest to one way that I can think, which is the right way. But they'll only go as far as to reducing immigration. That's the further that they go. So in other words, you're still going to get it, but you're not going to get as much of it as if you vote for the Democrats. You see, and so that's how they control it. They give you the illusion.
Play with the Republicans, and I'm sure the conservative party over there, every single one of the Republican candidates for president is sold out to the Jews, some to a greater extent than others. And then you have the so-called conservative networks like Fox, and it's controlled by Murdoch, a Jew.
Yeah.
So they control both sides of the issues. You get the thesis and the antithesis. They come out with the synthesis because thesis and the antithesis are both pro-Jewish, so they come out with a Jewish synthesis, a Jewish solution to everything. People don't realize what a controlled situation we're in. Back in the 20s and 30s, people like Henry Ford and some others, you know, he published The International Jew, have woken up to a certain extent, but people today, for the most part, are brain dead, dumbed down on purpose.
Well, exactly. And funnily enough, The International Jew, what I did when, after I did In the Name of Yahweh, which was 2011 originally towards the end, but then I bought out a larger format edition that had an index to it because I wasn't aware as to how easy indexing was. I thought it was something that was going to take me several months. I was going to have to do on the updated Synagogue of Satan. And when I finished that in early 2012 and I was able to do that in about a week, I decided to withdraw and bring out a new version of In the Name of Yahweh with an index in it. But when I did the updated version of Synagogue of Satan, the original version was about 60,000 words. The updated version is 144,000, and it's updated throughout, but it also includes the complete protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion and an excerpt from every one of the 80 stories that make up the International Jew. I think there's 20 in each volume. I reordered them, so I put them in the order that they were published, because for some reason in the 4-volume set they're all over the place. I guess basically they were looking at a best of initially, and then they brought out another volume. But there are certain stories that one leads on from the other, and so you kind of need to run them concurrently. That's not all in there, because you're talking about 1,000 pages, so I've only got excerpts from each one. But it's such an important document. I think for me, when I look at these historical documents, apart from obviously the scriptures, we're looking at things like the International Jew, we're looking at the protocols, we're looking at works by Elizabeth Dilling, works by Nestor Webster, Archibald Moore Ramsey, the guy in Nameless War, is the book, Douglas Reed, these, you know, his book that he put together and wouldn't publish, and it was only published after his death, because he knew that he'd be hammered for it and it probably wouldn't get published. And it's these sort of historical writers.
He wrote a good book on the downfall of Rhodesia. We published the protocols, and we also carry Elizabeth Dilling's book, The Plot Against Christianity. Why don't you, right here, give our listeners some information on how they can obtain your books?
Well, firstly, I'd encourage the listeners to make a donation to your ministry to keep it going.
I appreciate that.
With my books, I've only really got two. Now, you've got the original Synagogue of Satan that came out in 2006, and there was 500 copies, and then the one that you'll see most commonly is the Textmars one. That was 2007, I think, March. I think it's about its 8th printing now. But the updated version, which is the only true version that I regard now, Textmars was offered the updated one. He didn't wish to publish it. And I won't go into the sort of details behind that, but I'm grateful for, you know, what Tex did in getting the word out for me. But myself and Tex are very different beliefs, especially with my identity belief now. It's very different from his belief. We'll just leave it at that. But the updated Synagogue of Satan is got absolutely everything, not a word changed of the original Synagogue of Satan, all those 60,000 words. But it's also got, as I say, the complete protocols in it and these bits from the International Jew. But most importantly, it doesn't just end in the end of 2011, whereas the original version ended in 2006. It hasn't just got 5 years bolted onto the end. It's updated throughout. I found out so much information over the 5 years in between the original copy coming out and the updated, expanded and uncensored version. There's a lot of Holocaust stuff in there, and I put that in. You know, I realised if I put Holocaust things in it, I'd never be able to go to Germany again. You know, because of obviously the laws over there. So I left those out and I didn't research them as much. And, you know, there's so many little things that it's difficult to put my finger on. But like I was talking about Las Vegas, all the information surrounding that and the Jews behind that and the Jews behind, you know, the nice side we touched on. Basically, Reagan gave, I think it was about $20,000 to each of them in the 80s as reparations for not them being interred, but for the fact that these Jews it was put in charge of some Jews to dispose of their assets and businesses. And what they were doing was they were awarding them to their Jewish friends for pennies on the dollar. And there's all these examples that I found that I put in there. You know, a clothing manufacturer worth $1 million being sold for like $30,000. You know, things like that was just blatant out-and-out asset stripping of these people and giving it to Jews, which is what Jews always do. And of course, when it came to, I mean, if the Jews were given $20,000 each for their fake Holocaust, the one that didn't happen, but the one that we know is coming, praise Yahweh in the book of Obadiah, what would they say to $20,000 one-off payment? You know, hoi vey. I mean, it's absolutely unbelievable, but that's what the Japanese had to take. And this wasn't for their so-called suffering. This was for their financial losses, which were far in excess of that amount. And as I say, there's different information there. And of course, the other book is In the Name of Yahweh. Now, the original Synagogue of Satan is up on my website, thesynagogueofsatan.com or andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com. And that's up. I've got all that up for free.
Okay, but you're saying that a printed copy is available from Amazon of both of your books?
Yeah, basically, from what I can gather, you're looking at Amazon for In the Name of Yahweh, the Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored. You can get the printed copy on there.
A lot of times, printed copies are best to hand out to people as a witness.
I don't own a Kindle, for example. I couldn't imagine. I've seen people with these Kindles when I've been on holiday. I just couldn't imagine. It's not really
for me. I'd rather relax in my easy chair reading a book than sitting before a computer screen.
These Kindle things, they're like a book, but it's like holding a great big calculator in front of you.
I guess it's still being carried by Textmars in paperback.
Only the original copy.
Okay, why don't you spell out andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com for our listeners to make sure they have the right spelling if they would like to go to your website?
Yeah, it's www.AlphaNovemberDeltaRomeoEchoWhiskey, that's Andrew, CharlieAlphaRomeoRomeoIndiaNovemberGolfTangoOscarNovember, that's Carrington, HotelIndiaTangoCharlieHotelCharlieOscarCharlieKilo, that's Hitchcock.com. And also, if that's a bit long for you to type, then thesynagogueofsatan.com or inthenameofyahweh.com. And I've got an email address, which is andrewcarringtonhitchcock@hotmail.com.
Information with our publications will be given at the end of the broadcast, but we're coming pretty close to the end of the broadcast here, and I wondered if you had any concluding remarks that you'd like to make on anything that would be of interest to our listeners.
Well, I just want to thank you for the broadcast, Brother Mike, and I hope to have you on Eurofolk Radio at some point. Yours was the first identity material I ever bought, and I remember being at home, a big white sort of sack turned up, and it was all tied up, and it had the AIT folder in it, and then all the different sections, and then the supplementary books, and I was opening it. It was just really, really nice, and it was such a great course to do, and I'd really suggest people do it who haven't done it. I don't know of any other course out there that's such good value. I'm very pleased that, you know, we've been able to finally get together and do this. It's great to talk to you again, brother.
Well, I'm very pleased that you've been our guest. I'd like to thank you for being our guest. We'll have to do it again sometime. And I urge our listeners to make contact with you and just keep the faith.
Yahweh bless, brother.
Yahweh bless you.
We pray that your spiritual ears have received today's message and that you were fed with strong meat relevant to solving the needs of our nation and Christian civilization everywhere. Herald of Truth is sponsored by Kingdom Identity Ministries through the financial support and prayers of listeners like you who love the truth of God's Word and want to see it broadcast throughout the land to awaken His people. If you would like a
CD
of today's message, tell us the date and station to which you are listening and send a donation to cover our cost plus help with radio time to Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602. We would appreciate donations made by our international listeners to be in U.S. funds. For a free introductory packet of information, including our doctrinal statement of beliefs, plus lists of books and tapes to aid you in your study of biblical truth, write Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, USA. Or request this material by calling 870-741-1119. That's 870-741-1119. Visit our internet website by going to www.kingidentity.com. Type www.kingidentity.com.
COM. We invite you to listen regularly to Herald of Truth broadcast for more dynamic messages proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom at this same time and station.